From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, March 18th. I'm Abby Lorico. St. Louis R&B singer Jordan Ward has been making music that's taken him across the globe. With his latest album, Backward, he's leaning into more introspective songwriting.
I really wanted to write something that was, you know, relatable, that translated, you know, that stood on its own.
STLPR's Chad Davis sat down with Ward to talk about his latest album and tour. We'll have that conversation coming up after this news on The Gateway. In the renewed conversation about a merger between St. Louis County and City, the St. Louis County Council is officially not interested. The council voted 4-3 last night in favor of a resolution that opposes any kind of merger, now or in the future. The vote came the same day that County Executive Sam Page announced he wanted public input on ways the city and county could work together to provide services. He said last week he wanted to restart discussions about consolidation amid budget struggles for both governments. Supporters of the resolution called the merger talk a distraction from important business in the county. Page has decided not to run for re-election, which would place his successor in charge of executing any plans. St. Louis County residents will once again be asked to decide whether they want to pay an additional tax on out-of-state online purchases. STLPR's Rachel Lippman explains last night's vote by the county council.
The council voted 6-1 to place the use tax on the August ballot. If it's approved, it could raise between $45 million and $75 million for St. Louis County. A similar attempt to level a playing field between online and brick-and-mortar stores failed in 2022. But the bill's sponsor, Florissant Democrat Gretchen Bangert, said after the meeting that more people now understand what a use tax is.
It's not a tax that's incurred on everyone, so it's a choice. If you don't want to pay it, don't purchase your items online.
Groups like the Municipal League and the St. Louis Realtors are expected to fund the campaign in support of the tax. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
The results are in from Illinois' primary election day. Let's get to it. First, Illinois Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton won the competitive Democratic primary race to succeed U.S. Senator Dick Durbin. Stratton won the contest with 40% of the vote, overcoming tens of millions of dollars in ad spending from U.S. Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy, who came in second. Stratton says she will stand up to the Trump administration.
Courage inspired me to run. Courage powered this campaign. And courage will bring this fight straight to Donald Trump's door.
U.S. Representative Robin Kelly came in a distant third. Stratton will now go up against former Illinois Republican Party Chair Don Tracy in the November general election. Krishnamoorthy says he's grateful for having the opportunity to give back to his country.
I want to thank this country, the greatest country on earth, for giving an immigrant kid and his family the chance to live the American dream. Only in this country could my story happen. And only in this country could a kid like me serve in the halls of Congress.
The Democrat promised to keep fighting for the rights of Illinois residents in the time he has left in Congress. Darren Bailey won yesterday's four-way Republican primary race for governor, setting up a rematch of 2022's campaign. The conservative farmer and former state lawmaker will face Governor J.B. Pritzker again this fall in the general election. Bailey touted an endorsement from President Trump 4 years ago, and Pritzker's campaign has wasted no time in trying to paint Bailey as, quote, too MAGA for Illinois. But Bailey says he's learned his lesson.
I won't attack people because they think differently than I do. We can disagree without tearing each other apart. And when we work together, Illinois is stronger.
Bailey won 54% of the vote in yesterday's primary. Conservative policy analyst Ted Dabrowski came in second with 29%. Bailey says he plans to spend the next 5 months campaigning in Chicago. All three local U.S. House members in Illinois claimed victory in last night's primary elections. Democrat Nikki Budzinski and Republican Mary Miller won decisive victories, and Republican Mike Bost ran unopposed. STLPR's Will Bauer has more.
Miller won big in the 15th District against weak GOP opponents. She'll face Democrat Jennifer Ann Todd of Edwardsville in the general election. However, Miller will be heavily favored in such a conservative area. Bost will face Democrat Julie Fortier of O'Fallon in the 12th District general election. Bost will also be favored. In the 13th, Budzinski beat progressive Dylan Blaha, 76-24%. Budzinski says the results demonstrate that voters support her work in Congress.
It's been an honor of my life to get to represent Central and Southern Illinois in Congress, and it means a tremendous amount to me that we won tonight, and we won very decisively.
Budzinski will face Republican Jeff Wilson in November following his primary win. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Clair County in Illinois is investigating after some tornado sirens failed to activate during a Sunday storm. St. Louis Public Radio's Katie Grovich has the latest.
Residents near Freeburg, Marissa, and Lebanon in the Metro East reported that they did not hear sirens during a tornado that caused minor damage on Sunday. The sirens under investigation were installed 3 years ago and use National Weather Service data to automate warnings in affected areas. Eugene Kramer is the director of the Emergency Services and Disaster Agency for the Village of Freeburg in South St. Clair County. He says this is the first time those sirens have malfunctioned since they were installed 3 years ago.
If you're not in the warning area and not even close to it, there would be no reason, you know, to get people into their safe areas.
St. Clair County's Emergency Management Director Herb Simmons says the department is waiting for a report from siren vendor ATI Systems. I'm Katie Grovich, St. Louis Public Radio.
Kramer says he was able to activate the city's old sirens when the new system failed. Clayton police are investigating the death of a woman at the St. Louis County Justice Center this week. County officials say the woman died inside her cell. Medical aid was unsuccessfully provided. Her name has not been released. Clayton police say they are working with the medical examiner's office to determine the cause of death, but say that it doesn't appear to be suspicious. County Executive Sam Page says it's been a couple years since someone died in custody at the jail. At least six people, though, have died there since 2020, including two in 2023. Leaders say the jail has become overcrowded in recent years. They say health services at the facility have also been underfunded due to recent budget cuts. Page says the county plans to work together to care for detainees and learn from this recent incident. A St. Louis man has been identified as the pilot killed in a plane crash at Spirit of St. Louis Airport yesterday. According to a St. Louis County Police Department spokesperson, 65-year-old Edward Rubeck died early Tuesday morning at the scene in Chesterfield. The department was alerted to a downed plane near the airport around 3 a.m. The crash site was spotted by officers near a runway on the airport's property. An early investigation finds Rubeck took off from the airport overnight and appeared to be on his way back when the plane went down. There's no indication anyone else was on board. The National Transportation Safety Board is leading the investigation. St. Louis activated its new Code Blue cold weather plan more than four dozen times this winter to protect people who are homeless in the city. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports the city's human services director says the plan was a big improvement over years past, but St. Louis needs to address long-term funding for the services.
The Code Blue plan was intended to coordinate and standardize services during cold weather. It ramps up as temperatures drop, opening up more emergency shelter beds and activating warming points and bus routes to transfer people to safety. Adam Cicero Pearson is the director of the St. Louis Department of Human Services.
If we have the right infrastructure and if we work on streamlining communications and making sure that we're on the same page about how we're making decisions, I think that it's going to get smoother and smoother each year.
The city used more than $3 million in RAMS settlement money for winter homelessness services. Pearson says in the future, the city will need to explore different ways to fund Code Blue protocols. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Code Blue executive order expired March 1st, but the city says it worked with several partners to activate services in this week's late-season frigid temperatures. An immigration case involving a St. Louis County mobile mechanic who was stopped by police in St. Charles County is headed to trial. Victor Lopez Delara was stopped by O'Fallon police in February. His fiancée says he doesn't have a criminal history and that he was stopped for driving without a front license plate. Police detained him after discovering he didn't have a driver's license. O'Fallon police confirmed the traffic stop and say he was then transferred to ICE custody. He's detained in St. Genevieve. Lopez de Lara was born in Mexico. His fiance says the 29-year-old arrived in the U.S. as a young child 26 years ago. The April 23rd trial comes after several hearings for Lopez de Lara were rescheduled. St. Louis singer, songwriter, and dancer Jordan Ward has become a rising R&B star in recent years. He's now on a world tour to promote his second studio album, Backward, which came out in January. St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis sat down with Ward and asked him why he chose to be more self-reflective on this album.
I'd say a lot of the starting points for this album came from seeing what may feel like gaps in the last album.
It's getting dark outside, and I've lost my fire, lost my way back home. Now I'm looking for a sign to tell me which way to go.
Being like, oh, I didn't talk about this. Let me talk about that. Or, oh, I have a different perspective on this. Let me give an evolved thought on that.
But I feel like a stranger in my own life. Just a stranger in my own life. For now I'm a stranger. Now I'm afraid to.
I read that you were listening to a lot of like 70s music to prepare for this album, to record this album. What was it about that style of music or that era of music that, you know, kind of captivated and resonates with you?
There were a lot of great songwriters, and there are great songwriters in every era, but just something about, you know, that 70s, 80s, even late 60s, like the bill where there's the Joni Mitchell, James Taylor, Bonnie Raitt, Roberta Flack, Donny Hathaway, you know what I'm saying? Just these songwriters, they were all kind of blending soul, R&B, rock, soft rock, folk, you know what I mean, blues. Also, man, Michael McDonald. I really wanted to write something that was, you know, relatable.
Yeah.
And that translated, you know, that stood on its own.
With so much pressure trying to push forward, did I start neglecting the things that sparked our initial connection?
You started off as a dancer, you started off as a theater kid, but when you're looking back at, you know, that time and the music that you're doing now, I mean, is there anything that you have taken from dance and, you know, theater performances that you now put into your music?
For sure. I mean, when we was putting this tour together, I definitely was intentionally like, yo, this needs to be theater. Like, if someone said the show was theatrical, that would be like one of the best compliments. So, you know, the fact that people come out and pay money for tickets, it's like, all right, how can we elevate that and make it more worthwhile, you know? So really just want to give people a show, man.
These are all pretty introspective records and songs, and Till Then struck me because that feels like one of the emotional cores of the record. You know, you're talking about fatherhood, you're talking about, you know, absentee fatherhood and this cycle. So one, you know, is this a song that was based off of your life, and is this a song that was difficult to even write?
For sure, yes. Definitely based on my real life.
Think of my son, who I ain't even had yet. I'll take him to the park then and teach him some cards.
You know, it is difficult and uncomfortable to, you know, share certain things in the music. Sometimes I question why I even do it. Like, I genuinely don't want people in my business, right? You know what I mean? But as an artist, I just feel like, if I'm not giving you what's weighing on my heart the most, or the most urgent thing, whether it's good or bad, it's not gonna come off as authentic. I like that you said it's the emotional core, because I really do feel like at the end of that record, I get to a point where it's like, you know, I say, maybe it's time I let it go. You know what I'm saying? And being paired with the album like Backward, it's really just me sorting through a bunch of things I'm trying to let go and move on from. You know what I'm saying? Before I crash.
But I won't victimize myself. Walking through life, angry inside. Maybe it's time I let it go.
That was musician Jordan Ward speaking with STLPR's Chad Davis. Editor of that piece was Jessica Rogan, with production from Maya Norfleet. hear Ward talk about the influences behind the new record and his tour, visit stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Our theme music's by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur, but right now, more Jordan Ward. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.